This is the Empowered Educational Conversations with Elaine and Christina podcast. We are two educators who have worked in over 7 different school districts and want to see change. We are here for our school leaders who have the desire to implement radical changes to fight the destructive nature of racism and injustice. This is a safe space for passionate school leaders and aspiring school leaders to listen in as we voice our concerns, laugh at our mistakes, and strategize ways to overcome adversity as educators, all while keeping it real.
Join us as we share our experience along with other important voices in the field. And don't forget to follow us on social media at Elaine and Christina, where we seek to build community and support one another in this work. While you're there, share this with a friend and colleague, and rate and review this podcast so we could get this to even more school leaders who want to do this work. All right, let's get to this episode.
Welcome back to the Empowered Educational Conversations with Elaine and Christina podcast. This is episode 81. So it's just Elaine this time going solo. I wanted to record a podcast about my recent experience of running for a seat on the board of directors for the California Association of School Counselors. So Christina will join us next time. We got to get back to our regular like podcast recordings. I know you miss us together, so that will happen soon. We're also getting guests together so that we can continue to uplift the voices that we want those of you to, those of our listeners to learn from and to listen to in the field of education. So let's talk about what I just went through. So back in March, I already knew I was going to run for a seat on the California Association School Counselor or CASC Board of Directors. I was at a counselor's lead meeting for the county I work in, and I was excited to talk about it and find out that another COSA or counselor on special assignment in the county was planning on running as well. I just knew that we had to support each other in this because the Bay Area hasn't been very active in our state association. We campaigned together and supported each other throughout the process, and I'm really glad that we did. So before I get into kind of the specifics of this whole election, I want to talk a little bit about CASC. So the California Association of School Counselors was formed in 2000. It is an association, a state association under the umbrella of the American School Counselor Association. And I'm going to quickly just read their mission and purpose, because I think this is important. And, you know, I really appreciate the work that they do, which is why I want to get involved and why I want to be on the board. But really, you know, their mission, as on their website, is to promote excellence in the profession of school counseling. The purpose of CASC is to promote excellence in the profession of school counseling by 1, leading and advancing the profession of school counseling in California. 2, advancing the integrity and influence of school counselors in California. And 3, empowering school counselors with the knowledge, skills, linkages, and resources to promote equity and access to a high-quality education for the overall success of every student in California schools. So I talk about this because, you know, they're run by the board of directors, and there are 13 seats on the board of directors. 6 of those seats were open for this election, and there were a total of 16 candidates on the ballot. So brace yourselves, because I'm going to be spitting out a bunch of numbers in this episode. But, you know, I kind of went down a rabbit hole and started doing research and just wanting to understand kind of what I was up against. And well, spoiler alert, I didn't win. So this whole episode is about me not winning and what I learned from the experience. So let me start off by saying that there were amazing candidates on the ballot. So in no way is this episode about bashing who won or, you know, just like wallowing in the fact that I didn't win. No, I am very happy to be represented by the candidates who won. Many of them I have, you know, seen present at different conferences. One of them I was on a committee with. Many I follow and we follow each other on social media. And so they're amazing. There's no denying that. There were from the people that won are amazing, but just all the people on the ballot, the 16 candidates on the ballot were also very amazing. Reading their bios, reading their statements, watching their videos, which I think is new this time around. I could be wrong, but I don't remember seeing any videos before. So anyways, I'll talk about that in a second. But there, you know, there were varying levels of experience and qualities that all of these candidates had. And again, I'm very happy and proud to be served by those that won, the sixth one. There was an application process. So all of the people interested in running for a seat had to submit an application, had to include a bio, had to include, you know, why they want to serve on the board, had to include a position statement or just kind of a candidate statement, and then had to submit a 2 to 3 minute video kind of, you know, explaining why you want to be on the seat, why you want to be on the board of directors, and know why people should vote for you. So the voting happened in the first 2 weeks of April. So CASC members had about 2 weeks to cast their votes. And the downside was that this happened during a lot of spring breaks. So for the people who, you know, have their membership tied to their work email and were not checking work email during spring break, they had less time to look through the 16 candidates, read their materials and watch their videos before casting their votes. So that kind of goes along with like some of the feedback or recommendations that I have. But overall, I'm like really, really glad that I went through this, and I'm sharing what I learned through this experience. One, because I want to document this time of, you know, this event, how I'm feeling. And I also hope that maybe I can have ongoing conversations with the new committee members and CASC and as an organization, because part of what I wrote in why I wanted to be a board member is that I, you know, want the Bay Area to be represented. That was kind of the campaign that myself and Glenda Ortiz Galan from San Mateo County we were running on, saying like, we are the Bay Area representation. We were the only two candidates on the ballot from the Bay Area. And I'll explain why that matters in a minute. But, you know, I felt, and I know she felt the same way, that we wanted to rep the Bay. You know, we wanted to kind of talk about what Bay Area counselors experience go through and keep them in mind when thinking about, you know, CASC events, CASC committees, CASC position statements, CASC advocacy. So that's where we really, you know, were inspired to run, because again, I think I wrote this somewhere that instead of like complaining over and over again, I try to find ways to go into action. And so this was my way. I found myself complaining a lot about what CASC was offering and not offering in Northern California, specifically the Bay Area. And I found myself complaining so much where I'm like, let me do something about it. So here are some things that I learned. This was like kind of the rabbit hole I went down, the research I was going through. But what I learned through this experience is that only 11.61% of the CASC members voted in the election. So the nice thing is that this is all very transparent. So this process is very transparent. This email got sent out to anyone, pretty much all the members, but you know, anyone who has, who receives emails from CASC, which not everyone who receives an email from CASC is an active member. Again, that's another thing. So there are 2,231 eligible voters in CASC and 259 ballots were returned. I received 49 votes. I am not going to like, you know, try to sugarcoat this and say that I was close to winning. I wasn't. I received 49 votes. My partner Glenda in this election received 50 votes. So pretty much the same amount of votes. This in my mind is not a good turnout, 11.61%. And I'm pretty sure CASC is talking about this. And in fact, like they've had conversations about member participation, but it makes me question the process and wants me to support member participation moving forward. I really do want, I want to kind of see like where these votes were broken up into, right? Out of the 49 votes that I received, how many of those votes were counselors from the Bay Area? How many of them were counselors that I just knew from Southern California? Like, I would be very interested to have it broken down even further about regional voting. Like, who out of the 11.61%, where are these voters coming from? And the reason why I say that is because I know we do not have Bay Area representation. In fact, I don't think our membership rate is even that high or compared to the number of counselors we have in this area. I don't think our membership matches that. And I believe, you know, especially in the Bay Area, we have a unique landscape. And I do believe that having a voice should matter. Again, that is part of the reason I knew that I wanted to be on the board of directors, but also why I knew it would be hard to win a seat. So again, I kind of started digging a little bit deeper. And while I don't know whose term is up, out of the 13 current board members, so there are 13 board of directors, out of the 13 current board members, like the ones that are currently serving, not being replaced by the six that just won, there are two representatives from the Bay Area. And from the two, only one of them is an active school counselor. The other is a professor in the school counseling program. Three of the 13 are from the Central Valley and six of the 13 are from Southern California. I know I'm going to say a lot of numbers, but again, these are all important. The candidates that won, five are from Southern California and one is from Central Valley. So again, I hope that the seats being vacated are not the ones from the Bay Area, because if they are, the Bay Area and I say we because I'm from the Bay Area, will be left without representation. And, you know, I ask a lot of questions. You know, this is really intriguing to me. I like to be involved as much as possible. I was a founding member of the Social Justice and Anti-Racism Committee. And some of the, like, I really enjoyed the work there. I enjoyed all the people I got to meet. In fact, Dr. Rebecca Pianta, who was a guest on our show a few episodes ago, actually a lot of episodes ago now, she was super supportive of me going through this process and helped me as much as she could. And she was the chair of the committee. And some of the things even shared there, it was like, it's really hard to get people to participate in these committees because it's on your own time and it isn't paid. Like, there aren't any incentives or payment or, paid opportunities to be a part of these committees or events, or responsibilities that CAS puts out there for members. And I know that that was a big issue for me at the time and for even one other person that was in the committee who was also from the Bay Area. Even the process of getting on the committee was kind of a question mark then, which I do think that they have changed. So again, I'm just saying all this because I know that CASC is working on this. I know that there are conversations about it. I'm not bashing CASC as an organization, but again, just what are my learnings and what am I going to do with this from this point forward? Because I do still want to get involved, and I am even more kind of amped up to kind of understand why counselors in the Bay Area aren't investing in it, trying to participate. And I mean, that's something that I'm thinking about as I'm processing all of this. So, okay, here are some of my recommendations. Again, something that I learned early on, especially with being an admin, was that if you're going to complain or you're going to bring problems to the person or to a situation, if you're going to bring the problems, also try to bring some solutions, that you get further if you not only bring up a problem, but also have a list of brainstormed ideas on how to solve it. So these are my recommendations. I do believe that voting should be promoted for a longer period of time. I feel like there was one social media post and maybe a few emails that within a larger email was embedded that voting was coming up. But I don't feel like it was blasted that, you know, what voting was coming up, why it was important, or even reminders that voting was about to start. I also feel that people should be given a chance to become members before the ballots get sent out. Over half of the counselors in my district are not CASC members, and of course that is part of the issue. From those that I've had conversations with, they either do not see the value in it or do not want to pay for it since our district doesn't pay for it. Yes, there are some districts that will reimburse or pay for association memberships, but I don't think that's common in this area. But again, that's some research that I would probably want to do if I'm trying to get a better understanding of what's happening here in the Bay when it comes to involvement in our association. So, I mean, already like half of, the people in my district that I would hope would vote for me couldn't because they were not members. And I know that there were some issues with some people becoming members right before the ballot, right after, people were having issues getting a ballot if they joined after the ballots were already sent out. And the posting that was on social media made it seem like you could still become a member and vote because the deadline was April 15th and the posting said as long as you're a member by April 25th, 2024, April 24th or April 25th of 2024, you could vote. So it made it seem like, okay, you can become a member and, you know, within that time frame and still vote. And I don't know if that was true. There were some people that had issues with it. So along with voting being promoted for a longer period of time, I do feel like people should have been given an opportunity as part of that promotion to become members so that they could vote in the board of directors. Because I know that even the counselors who are not members in our district are very well aware of CASC. They talk about the conference and wanting to attend. And so I know it's not because they didn't know that we had an association. So again, voting should be promoted for a longer period of time, and people should be given the opportunity to become members before the ballots get sent out. This was, okay, the next recommendation is something that I've discussed with our other counselors on special assignments in our county, and even our kind of like our director of school counseling within our county. So it's not just my idea alone, but we should have regional voting. In a state like California, where, you know, we have very clear kind of lines and division around the state. I mean, ask anybody, you know, who lives in Stockton and how much we go back and forth about them not being a part of the Bay Area. There are, don't come at me, people in Stockton, but there are, you know, certain areas like who's actually Southern California and all that. So I do think that regional voting would make a difference. It would also help us get more members in certain regions. And it also would help there be a voice from the different regions. Because as I mentioned before, there is absolutely no representation from Northern California, like above the Bay Area. Absolutely, like unless those two people that I could not find information on are from, you know, upper Northern California, there's absolutely no representation. And luckily, you know, we are currently working with a school that is in very, like, in northeast California. And I got to, like, you know, I had happened to see them before the deadline and reminded them to vote for me. But they were also kind of like, oh, cool, I know somebody that I could vote for. But typically we have, there is absolutely no representation for those in upper Northern California. So if we had regional voting, we could address that and encourage those in different regions to become more active in the association. This would also guarantee a diversity of voice when it comes to making decisions for the association. So some numbers just for you to kind of think about why I'm even saying regional voting. I went through the California Department of Ed's website, and within the 22-23, like the most recent school year I could find, there are 939 school districts total in California. Bear with me, here's some more numbers. 142 school districts in the Bay Area, 240 school districts in Southern California, 208 school districts in Northern California, like above the Bay Area, 292 districts in Central Valley, and 65 in Central Coast. And then there were some other districts that were, you know, more east, like the eastern borders of California. As you could tell, I mean, you know, Southern California definitely deserves multiple seats because of the number of districts. And mind you, this is just number of districts. I'm not even like this is like later in my research, like number of students and number of counselors in those districts within those regions in California. I didn't do all that. Not for this episode, but I definitely want to do it as I'm advocating for certain things like regional voting. But from those like numbers, of course, yeah, Southern California has more than the Bay Area, more districts than the Bay Area. So they should definitely have more seats. But also Central Valley and the regional map that I use had definitely like more like counties in accounted for in Central Valley. And they have the most. And right now they also don't have as much representation as Southern California. So it should be broken up where each region gets representation according to their numbers. I also think that we're not necessarily there yet with state law. But as now that we have like our California state standards for school counseling, as that becomes more understood and prominent, I do feel that it would be nice to have some reporting or accountability of where schools are at with membership and collaboration, or incentives to have districts to urge membership and participation. I do believe that the work that CASC is doing, especially at the state level, to inform policy and change policy is extremely important. And I would love to be a part of that. And I would love the Bay Area to have a voice in those things. Even just look at the number of schools that get ramped through ASCA, which is a whole nother episode. I'm not going to break it down here, but it's a recognition that the American School Counselor Association puts out for model programs, aligning with the ASCA national model. And even if you look at that, as far as high school goes, because that's really where I look at, we don't have very many high schools get ramped in the Bay Area. The majority of schools that get ramped that I see are in Southern California. I always talk about how Southern California really has it together when it comes to like directors of counseling or counselors on special assignment, alignment with ASCA. And I want to get there. I really do. I want the Bay Area to get there, and I think that they can. So, I don't know. I think it'd be interesting if we had some of that reporting or accountability that gets shared, you know, throughout the association and at the state level with, you know, county school boards and county superintendents and districts. Again, I don't know. I just think it would be interesting to see. And I think that would also help us kind of promote memberships, because it's like, you know, if we can kind of have that out there of like how many members does each county have or each district have, I think it would be something to get us to become more involved. So I did want to keep this podcast short, because I know there's a lot more we could talk about, even just stemming from this episode. But I do want to talk about what's next. Plain and simple, I won't stop trying. Seeing the numbers alone made me want to keep trying to get a seat on the board. This loss will not stop me. Hearing from my colleagues, I know they want to be heard, and they just do not feel represented. We also need to be members and participate in committees and present at the conference. So I know that there's work to be done on our end within this area as far as CASC representation and participation. Meanwhile, I will be applying to be part of a committee. There are different committees that CASC has that, you know, help inform and support decisions and work being done by the board of directors. So I do want to apply to be a part of a committee as soon as those applications open. As I mentioned before, I've served as a founding member of the Social Justice and Anti-Racism Committee. And, you know, maybe I'll apply to that if a seat is open, but I don't know the committees that are looking for applications, but that is definitely something that I'll be doing. I will continue to apply to present at the annual conference that CASC puts on in October, usually in Riverside. I've submitted two proposals already this time around, and I hope to get accepted. Christina and I presented last year, and so we submitted another proposal, and then I submitted a separate one with my, you know, director in my district to present. So hopefully we get to present again this year. And I will also urge membership and participation from the counselors in my district and join forces with other county COSAs to get more involvement. I know there was already a group text with the other county counselor leads, and just talking about like what the results meant to us, kind of like kicked us into gear of wanting to take action, wanting us to like even just build some community within Bay Area counselors so that we can kind of band together, get those numbers up, and show that we want to be heard. And so that's definitely something that we want to do more immediate. So stay tuned, my friends. There's lots that I learned from. I definitely, enjoy the process. I know campaigning looks a very different for something like this. And that's a whole nother question I have. Like, did I not send enough text messages? Did I not send enough emails? But again, I wouldn't know until I kind of see the breakdown of where did the votes come from for me? Were they from the Bay? Were they from other places? And I think that would help us just kind of understand the situation in general. But yeah, I've learned so much, and I really appreciate, my friends and colleagues that voted for me. And I also, appreciate those that checked in with me after the fact, because one in particular stands out where, my really good friend reached out to me and was just kind of like, that she's proud of me and it takes courage to put myself out there. And I'm like, yeah, you know what? Thank you. I underestimated how much I wanted to win. And so again, I'm going to take what I learned and I'm going to take action. So take care, y'all.
We hope you enjoy this conversation. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Aline and Christina. Check out our content and engage in a conversation with us through the comments or DMs.
Also, please help us grow and share this with your friends, colleagues, as well as post on your social media. We look forward to next time. Take it easy.